This sermon is brought to you by Buford Road Baptist Church. The speaker today is Pastor Tony Cahoot.
I'm going to be speaking this morning for a very few moments on this subject, the glorious resurrection. And I want to give you a couple of things to think about in today's message. So if you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read this chapter for you, and I want us to look at it together. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. And the scripture says this. Again, this is written, obviously, most of you know, by the Apostle Paul. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then all of the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also." You know, it's amazing, and I'm not going to speak on the list of people that was seen by Jesus at the resurrection. And after the resurrection, He showed Himself alive according to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. He showed Himself alive for 40 days after the resurrection. But what I find interesting here is in verse number 7. And if we could go back to that scripture, I want you to understand something. James, who was the brother of Jesus, did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah in the entire childhood that Jesus and James shared together. Jesus was raised in the same home with Joseph, Mary, James, brothers and sisters as well, but this particular one refused to believe Jesus was who He said He was until after the resurrection. But I find it interesting that the brother who denied, now he is saying this, After that, he was seen of James. Isn't it interesting that he would knock on the door of James? And he would say, "Hey, little brother, I am that I am. I am whom I said I was." James, the one who denied gloriously, received the Lord as the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior. I find that interesting. The reasons that you and I gather today and celebrate this day, I think the reasons for it are probably the most sacred in all of the Bible. And when I got to thinking about that, I jotted down a couple of things, and because every single one of us today, as a believer, we all stand, I think, I would like to believe, that all of us are here today standing on holy ground. And I don't say it humorously, but it's almost like a special day where we would come and take our shoes off, because today is the day we all, and every Sunday, every time we gather in His name, I don't want to belittle any of this. But obviously today is a day that we commemorate, we think about, we reflect, we rejoice, we celebrate the glorious resurrection of our Lord. I think we're recognizing this morning the greatest event that had taken place in all of human history, all over the world. Now, there are many miraculous stories in the Bible that are significant to our Christian faith. I jotted down a couple of them, and keep in mind that every story was a lived out reality that would bring us to the climax of our faith. But just a few to reflect upon this morning. For example, the walls of Jericho. If we study that story, I think it brings us to a greater lesson in Scripture on what complete obedience is all about. Then the story of Noah's Ark. Most of us are well familiar with that. But the greater lesson learned in that story is that God is our refuge. Then there's the story in the Scriptures about the three Hebrew children. The greater lesson in that story, well studied, I believe, is that we're never alone. There's always a fourth man in our fires. Then there's the story we could talk about this morning of crossing the Red Sea. The greater lesson in that story is what a mighty God we serve. Then the story of Daniel in the lion's den we could reflect upon this morning, and the greater lesson is this, that when we think about his circumstances and what happened in that particular story, I think maybe perhaps the verse that would come to our mind and would teach us a greater lesson is, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We could talk about the story of the feeding of the 5,000, and the greater lesson in that story is that he is always sufficient. He will always supply as he promised our need. But not only are there great stories that we could reflect on this morning, and oftentimes we do, but then there are the great doctrines of Scripture. For example, we could talk about the doctrine of creation, how that God stepped out of nothing, on the portals of nothing, and created everything. We could talk about the doctrine of the virgin birth, and we would discuss how that was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. We could talk about the blood atonement, and we would understand this morning in that doctrine that the only thing that could satisfy God with the payment for sin was the blood of Jesus. We could talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the greater lesson is how we are always blessed with comfort. We always have a comforter as a believer. We could talk about the prophecies of the second coming. And by the way, the greater lesson to that is this: he's definitely on the way back. But I'm telling you today that there's nothing more important in all of the Word of God than the glorious bodily resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to look again at verse number 14 this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. The word says, and if Christ be not risen, think about this. If he be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Without the resurrection, we might as well join the world at the mall today, or get involved in some kind of Easter parade. I think it's unimaginable to me how some people around this world will spend this day. And I'm not against all the fun flair things. I'm all for that. But a lot of people today will take time just to sleep in, maybe to read the paper, maybe to go out to breakfast, take a walk in the park, talk about the Easter Bunny. But to me, listen carefully, nothing is more important than for you to be exposed to the gospel, for you to have an idea of what this day is all about. And even those of you that are watching by internet, listen very carefully, because we could get very laxed in a comfortable setting. If we have a thimble of an idea of what this day is all about and what it represents, and we do not take time to pause and reflect upon it, it's a very easy door for the enemy to creep in our lives and take advantage of many other areas as well. Because to millions of people, listen carefully, all around the world, today is nothing more than a commercialized holiday. Millions of people do not believe in Jesus Christ, period. Much less than the fact that he lived and died and rose again. So you think about this. There's no greater message in all of the world than Jesus rose from the dead. I want to give you five quick reasons this morning. I share with you five reasons why the belief in the resurrection is so important. And why does it matter? Because our faith hinges on this very doctrine. Number one, listen carefully. Without the resurrection, Christianity is nothing more than a hoax. And according to the Apostle Paul, we have lived life in vain without the resurrection. Today, Christianity is mocked all over the world. It's mocked by Hollywood celebrities. It's mocked in the workplace. People tell jokes about it, make fun of us as Christians. But listen very carefully. Whoever you are today, please don't miss this point. Without the resurrection, none of us could be saved. None of us could be born again. In fact, Our faith, according to Paul, look at verse 1 and 2 again in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, it would be in vain. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you. Look at this very carefully. Unless ye have believed in vain. And so if the resurrection had not taken place, then Christianity would have been the biggest hoax in all of the world. Without the resurrection, we would have no future. We would have no hope. We would have no forgiveness. We would have followed a false witness, and we would have followed a lie. Think about it. If the resurrection was false. Now, in verse number 19 and 20 of this chapter, the Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all, of all men, most miserable. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So I declare unto you today that the resurrection is the bedrock of our salvation. If it did not happen, then everything else would have been a lie. Number two, the resurrection declares the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, Paul is writing and he says, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by, look at this, the resurrection from the dead. So Jesus, it was him who said, if you destroy this temple, he said, I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. His integrity of what he was saying, what he had declared, his integrity depended upon this unimaginable to them, incredible, miraculous happening. If Jesus had not rose like he had declared, if he was not the only begotten Son of God, it would have made them right and it would have made us the biggest fools on the earth. Many people think that Jesus was a prophet, a great teacher, but they deny that he was the only begotten Son of God. And I emphasize only. Listen to this. There's no other religion in the world that bases their salvation on the resurrection of its founder. Do you understand that? No other religion in the world bases their salvation on the resurrection of its founder. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse number 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and from God the Father who raised him from the dead. And number 3, real quick. Because of the resurrection, we have the promise of eternal life after death. In 1 Corinthians 15, I want to read again verse 20, and I want to read through verse 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. So here is the thing, the same power you have to understand as a believer now, we just sang the song, Because He Lives. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us from the dead. That same power in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11, the scripture says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the resurrection, it guarantees us eternal life. And listen, one of the best things about the resurrection and its promise that guarantees us eternal life, because everybody in here, most everybody in here has a loved one who's gone on to the other side. Most of us do. And one of the greatest promises and the assurances of the resurrection is this. If we have loved ones who have professed faith in Christ, they are now in the presence of God. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you have a loved one that's already died and gone to heaven, because of the resurrection, you have the absolute promise of seeing them again. I think I have mentioned to you before, and I mean this with every fiber of my soul, and I don't believe in spooky religion at all. I don't like to make things up and attach them to Scripture and claim it as doctrine. I don't do those kind of things. But I've got a lot of precious loved ones on the other side, and even my father. And I have found myself praying like this before. God, I don't know if it's possible. And I don't know if it's permissible. And I don't know if it would be in your will. But if it is possible, and if it be in your will, if it would bring glory to your name, God, would you somehow tell my dad today that I said hello and that I love him and that I miss him. And then I will say in Jesus' name, amen. Now that sounds like a pretty far-fetched prayer. But I'll tell you what. We serve a miraculous God. And the Bible says that He would give us the desires of our heart. So I don't know if that's possible, but I do know this. I know He's in the presence of the Lord. I do know that He's in heaven. And the thing that I rejoice with today is the fact that because of the resurrection, I remember standing at His graveside, and it wasn't goodbye. When you've stood at the graveside of people who have professed faith in Christ, it's never been goodbye. You might have said goodbye, but it's not goodbye. If you know Christ as your Savior, they knew Christ as their Savior. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's not goodbye. It's just, I'll see you a little later. And so the resurrection guarantees us the promise that we will see our, can you imagine it? That we will see our loved ones again and be able to spend eternity with them. Number four, the resurrection proves that the death was not capable of keeping Jesus in the grave. Thank God the Jews couldn't hold Him. The Romans couldn't hold Him. The demons couldn't hold Him. The devil couldn't hold Him. Sin couldn't hold Him. And the grave couldn't hold Him. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 24, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders, signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. Thank God He arose. Number five, quickly, and our musicians come. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it demands that we believe that there is no other way. Listen carefully, that there is no other God and that there is no other way. In recent years, there have been talk show hosts, reality talk show hosts that believe and have said and promoted when they have had what they call spiritual conversations, that there are many roads to Jesus, that there are many roads to God. And if you happen to be of that persuasion today, please let me help you. They have said that Jesus is not the only way, and that you can find God in any path that you choose to take, and He can be who you want Him to be. And there are millions of people all around this world that are placing their eternal faith in propaganda like this. A few years back, we had an American president. And I emphasize more than a few years, but he found himself in the presence of a Muslim king, and he bowed himself. He said America was arrogant. He declared in a Turkish press conference that America was not a Christian nation. He said we were simply a nation of citizens. Now, my response to that is this. If that's what the liberal agenda of this world claim to believe about American heritage and ancestry, then probably what they should do is go and spit on the graves of our founding fathers and take one nation under God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and take In God We Trust off of our currency. and take the capstone off of the Washington Monument. By the way, there are two Latin words inscribed of that capstone. Las Dio. And on that capstone at the top of the Washington Monument, those two words mean, praise be to God. And then maybe one of them needs to run down to Jamestown in Williamsburg and set the Mayflower on fire. Listen very carefully. This nation was not formed by people who worship dogs and cows and the sun and the moon and Buddha and Muhammad and Allah and money and power and fame. This nation was built and founded on freedom and faith in God and prayer and a belief in the Holy Scriptures that Jesus lived. He died. He was crucified. And he rose again from the dead. Glory to God, hallelujah, and I don't care what kings and presidents say. This day marks the celebration of Jesus enduring a cross where he had human spittle dripping off of his face, where he endured 6 illegal trials, where he was beaten beyond human recognition, where they plucked the hair off of his face, where he was flogged, where he was crucified, where he shed his blood, where he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, where he conquered sin, hell, death, and the grave. And let me tell you this, there is not another person that can help you when you cross death's river. And I'm telling you today, no matter what you're tormented with, what you're overwhelmed with in life, what you're holding on to today, if it's not Jesus, according to the Scriptures, it's in vain. Doesn't go any higher than the ceiling. And I would beg you in Jesus' name that if there's one person here today that doesn't know Christ, listen, you're playing Russian roulette with your soul. There's a scripture in the Bible that ought to scare the living daylights out of all of us, and it says this, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen today, tonight, tomorrow. We don't know. Life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. But I tell you this, friend, rather than taking chances with your soul, listen, you might say, when I sow my wild oats, when I cross my T's, when I dot my I's and I get everything in straight and order, you don't have the guarantee of getting everything in order. So here's the thing. Why would you roll dice with your soul? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, is there a better day to trust Him than His resurrection celebration?
You listen to Pastor Tony Cahoot. For more information, visit our website at BufordRoadBaptistChurch.com.